I'm Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Welcome to the Digital Soup Podcast, the only podcast endorsed by 40-year-old guys living in their mom's basement. Not me this time. This is episode 39.
This time.
And this episode, it is chock full of great stories on tech, gaming, and a lot more.
Yep. Sponsored by Chad out of Hazard, Nebraska.
Yeah, we haven't heard him in a while. Hopefully he's not in jail. my name, Jason. I'm joined today by Adam and usually Dave. What's up, fellas?
Hola.
Nothing.
Hola.
Much, nothing.
¿Cómo está usted? Habla inglés, por favor. That's all
okay,
I know.
Okay. Are you speaking words right now, or are you just having a stroke?
I might have had a minor stroke.
I can't take
credit. I saw that.
I heard that line on a movie I was watching with my kids about an hour ago.
Nice.
I like to watch shows with my kids that all talk about strokes and stuff too. That's pretty fun.
Well, this is a kids movie. It was called something like Middle School. It's a kids movie. I know
what you're talking about. My kids have watched it.
And the principal's really mean. He's kind of crazy, and the girl's yelling at him like, "Are you speaking words right now, or are you just having a stroke?"
Nice.
You know, if he was having a stroke, that's awfully mean of that girl.
It would be, right?
That almost sounds like a riddle.
Riddle? Did we had a riddle from last week, right?
Yeah, it was like a crazy one that I can't even remember, so you're going to have to repeat it.
I'll read it again. And Adam was segueing right in there. Mm-hmm. I see he's on top of his segue game.
We'll get this out there. We'll get this out in the open. I'm going to attempt to continue doing segues. They might be crappy. They might be good. I don't know.
Hopefully good.
Yeah. Worst. We'll go for the record of most abrupt, awkward segues tonight ever. That's the goal.
I might have some unrelated segues that aren't segues.
All right.
So let's read the riddle.
All right. The riddle was 500 begins it, 500 ends it. 5 in the middle is seen. First of all figures, the first of all letters, take up their stations between. Join all together, and then you will bring before you the name of an eminent king.
I got this one.
You got it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Loki from Asgard.
It's kind of a little underwhelming.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
I didn't know you had a bell.
Yo, Kira.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. So this harkens back to the olden days.
Oh, we're going way back.
So 22 years ago, I was given the nickname Taco by somebody who thought I was Mexican, and I'm not. It stuck. And so that was my nickname for quite a while.
That's how I first met you. I didn't even know your real name for about 5 years.
Well, funny thing, anybody that I was friends with from back then will still call me that.
Yeah, I have that as well, old nickname. That I always know if it's someone from my past if I hear that nickname, because I don't hear it anymore. So
what's the answer to this riddle?
Well, we have a listener sent in an answer. Should we play that before we find out the real answer?
Right on.
All right, here we go.
Somebody produced this. Okay.
Good evening. This is Captain Poland speaking. I have the answer to your very tricky riddle. Now, what gave it away is the eminent king. It's a play on Roman numerals, because 500 begins it. 500's Roman numeral is the letter D. 5 in the middle is seen. That's the letter V. The first letter of all letters is letter A, and the first of all figures is the Roman I, which is number one. So put it all together, it spells David, the eminent king. I didn't realize that this podcast was very religious. Anyway.
Well, we are.
I got the answer right.
Wow.
And I hope you guys got it too. It's that time again. Well, I gotta go and save the world. By the way, Jason, I will always have your back.
Oh, yeah.
Shmai Chisha.
What?
Naraji.
I don't know. I almost felt like I was watching Game of Thrones there at the ending. He was speaking Dothraki or whatever that's called.
Dothraki.
I'm going to speak Dothraki.
Yeah.
Dracarys. I want you to burn that guy up, dragon. Dracarys.
Southern.
That was you know what? We put a call out for a better produced answers. He delivered. We appreciate that. Man. We appreciate that. That was a very tricky riddle. I did not get that, but that makes sense.
Was that correct?
It is correct.
You know, and it's you know, I think it's kind of ironic that the person that picks the riddle's name is David.
Really? And, oh, man.
You didn't think about that, did you?
Didn't even realize that. I guess, do we start calling me King?
No.
Instead of usually Dave? No?
Eminent.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll put up a Google.
Hashtag make him king.
I know.
King me.
King me, yo.
King is the best wrestler.
Hashtag yes. Give him a golden crown like Khaleesi's brother.
Oh, no. Let's pass on that. That was correct, though. The answer was David. I saw it, and right away, because of the name, I was like, ah, this will be funny and a good riddle, too. So
nice.
Absolutely. So Google right, so. Riddles we, about David.
Do we have another riddle?
We do. This one might not be as tough, but I thought it was interesting. So this week, the riddle is, I am a five-letter word, and I am a fruit.
David. That's my answer.
Jeez.
David.
I'll tell you what, before I even read that, I was like, oh, no.
So, yeah, where's the riddle part?
Yeah. I mean, we're just speaking truth here.
Oh, man, let's not be offensive.
To you.
I am a five-letter word, and I am a fruit. Take the first letter out, and I am a crime.
Avid?
Take out the first and second letter, and I am an animal. Take out the first and last letter, and I am a type of music. What am I?
I seriously do know this one here.
Okay. Adam?
No, I don't know this one yet.
All right, but we'll carry that to next
carried
week.
On. If Captain Poland doesn't get on this one.
Carry on my wayward son. Yeah, I mean, Captain Poland, I look forward to more of these. I don't know. He said he's off to save the world, so I'm kind of, I'd love to have him on and find out what kind of adventures he's on. You know what?
Maybe
what
he's going to Planet fighting. Hulk and help Thor and Hulk out.
It's getting close, I suppose. Travel time, you know, to get to outer space. But yeah, so listeners, send in your responses. Don't leave Captain Poland hanging there all by himself. And we'd love to hear more from you. And so, the rest of this week, we've got quite a bit on the books, don't we?
We do.
Adam. After giving you a hard time last week about, you know, show notes and everything else, I see you've actually added a few stories here. So why don't you do my favorite activity and dive right into this first one?
All right. We're going to dive into this. So I've got a couple of security stories here. And then we have a very interesting voicemail that we want to play kind of in the same realm of cybersecurity and stuff like that. The first one is, so one of the biggest antivirus companies out there, Kaspersky.
Gesundheit.
Bless you. The Department of Homeland Security officially banned Kaspersky from being used in federal agencies. And what they did is they issued this directive. They call it the Binding Operational Directive. And they said, they want all departments and agencies to identify any use or presence of Kaspersky products on their systems in the next 30 days. They have 60 days to develop a plan to remove and discontinue the use and 90 days to actually get rid of it. And what they're citing is they're concerned about ties between certain Kaspersky officials and Russian intelligence and other government agencies, and requirements under Russian law that allow Russian intelligence agencies to request or compel assistance from Kaspersky to intercept communications. So the risk is Kaspersky, or the Russian government through Kaspersky, could potentially compromise federal information through Kaspersky. Like, basically, the Russian government could have a backdoor through this software. So the Department of Homeland Security, actually, we're going to link this in the show notes. They actually have their public statement on this, describing kind of what I just mentioned. But what a blow to the company, and what right. what an interesting concern about having this software. I know several people that actually run this at home, and there's mm-hmm. several other there's businesses and agencies I know that are running this in their business. Is Kaspersky, or, you know, is there actually a security breach of any type? No, we haven't seen or heard of anything yet, but it's interesting that the concern is high enough that the government actually issued this and says it's got to go. So especially in that timeline.
Now, I don't want to get political with this, but the one question I do want to ask is that, are they legitimately finding this where there's something going on that they're worried about? Or is this just a little bit more of kind of anything Russian right now is being viewed as bad news?
It's hard to say, but I know Kaspersky, even before the election and everything, there was news going through
okay.
you know, security channels on this could be compromising and this kind of sure. stuff. So I can't yeah. say, but I'm not high enough up in any chain and anywhere to know that stuff, but it's hard to say what's really pushing it, but
right.
If Homeland Security has a security concern about
well,
it,
right.
You know, I'm sure they should have a good reason, hopefully not just purely political.
Right. Well, I mean, this is federal agencies, you know, like you're saying, they have so many days to remove this, but the one piece of advice we would give you here from Digital Soup is, you know, if you have like an email server that you're running out of your closet, don't use Kaspersky on it. No, I'm sorry,
yeah, it's probably not a good idea. Or if you have an email server, don't use Kaspersky on it. You know, right, right. now, if our government's saying don't use this because it could be compromised, yeah. I'm not going to recommend it either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, seriousness, it's kind of scary because they're one of those brands I remember seeing pushed constantly. Yep.
And it's not just standalone products either. There are products that have Kaspersky security embedded in it. There's anti-spam and filtration for malware and email. And I mean,
right.
that's bundled with devices and mm-hmm. appliances and stuff like that. It's all over the place. Now, does that mean that there's, you know, something's bad's going to happen with it?
No.
Who knows? Yeah. It's hard to say, but it's an interesting topic. You know, so I've had a couple people asking, what are you guys using, you know, for sure. antivirus and anti-malware stuff? And there's a lot of different products out there, a lot of different answers. Some people are just using Microsoft. At home, mm-hmm. I'm using Webroot. Actually, I find that to be really effective.
Now, what Webroot, what is that? Is that malware or is that?
Yeah. Yep. It's anti-malware software. So it's okay. Webroot Secure Anywhere is what I'm using. It's a cloud-based version.
Okay.
You know, it's got the built-in firewall, that stuff. There's a lot of products out there that are doing it, and there's a lot of information to sort through. I don't know, Jason, what are you using?
Avast, mateys.
All right, Jason.
So how does Webroot compare with Avast?
Well, it roots the web, so you don't have to worry.
It starts with rooting the web,
and then it grows from there.
I pay for this version. And mm-hmm. So there's some extra features that this would have over the free version of Avast. If mm-hmm. I pitted the both paid versions, like apples and apples against each other, I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Pretty close. Okay.
But what I was looking for is something that's non-intrusive and very lightweight as far as resources on the system.
Right.
And so that's what I chose, and it's been working pretty good. But that's okay. just me on a personal level. So
well, this isn't speaking specifically of Kaspersky, but there's been a lot of anti-Russian sentiment going on, especially with everything that's going on in the White House. And we're not going to get political. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. But I have found it very hard to find my favorite dressing or play my favorite puzzle game. They're just disappearing.
Your favorite dressing?
Oh, Russian dressing and then Tetris. I can't play either of them. I can't find either of them.
What is Russian dressing?
I have no idea what Jason's talking about.
I've heard
about.
Of like French dressing.
Is this an Ohio thing?
No, it is not an Ohio thing.
No.
Russian dressing is a real dressing.
What Google describe it. What is
it's
it?
It's red.
I think you're describing like Western or French
that's called,
dressing.
Yeah, it's called French. What I've been missing is the white Russian drink.
Yeah.
well, that's white.
You know, I've never had one of those.
You two seriously have never had Russian dressing. I had it when I was in Minnesota all the time. No. Just Google Russian dressing right now. You're going to find tons of recipes.
No way. I'm not ending up on some list. I'm not Googling that.
I don't want the FBI to shut down me like Kaspersky.
Well, right here.
I almost said Kapowski.
Yeah. So from what I understand, the federal government's banning Kelly Kapowski from being used in all federal agents. Yep. Kelly Kapowski. Yep. And what's being referred to as the Zach Morris Initiative, Kelly Kapowski has been banned from federal government use.
We hear this whole operation was spearheaded by one Agent
A.C. Slater. The products can come to a screeching halt.
Oh, and slow down to a pure turtle's pace.
Yep. But when the bell dings and everything's said and done,
oh, what was the principal's name, Mister?
I just said
that's
Belding.
What he just did.
Oh, Belding. Oh,
when the bell dings.
I was thinking Saved by the Bell. I thought that was a joke. Yeah, Belding. Perfect. Yep. Perfect. Yep. Yep.
Oh, that's a lot of Bayside references.
Yeah. You guys are such nerds for knowing that.
It was a pretty interesting article though, just to see that that's kind of going on, and you know, if there's really nothing behind it, you know, that's really bad for that company.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Well, let's play
interesting times.
Go
I was
ahead.
Gonna say, if you did find yourself, you know, if you had been using this in the past, definitely uninstall it and switch to something newer. And then probably what you're gonna want to do is probably go about changing all your passwords, right, Adam?
That's probably not a bad idea if you really want to be safe. Definitely.
Speaking of passwords, no.
Oh, master the segue there, Adam.
I wasn't ready.
Look at that.
You over-segued me. I'm like, yeah, you would want to.
I pre-segued
him. Look at that. When he's not the one throwing out them segues, he gets thrown off the game here. I like it.
Oh, man.
It's a little role reversal this week. This is good.
I like that you guys have been beating me up the last two podcasts. Yeah,
well, last week I felt like it was just me talking constantly. And
yeah, shut up, Dave.
Yeah, and so I'm liking this role reversal, letting you take the wheel.
So, speaking of password recommendations, great segue from Jason
speaking
on this.
Speaking of hamburgers.
Yeah. No, I want to see where that goes.
Oh, party.
So, NIST. You guys familiar with NIST?
No.
I used to play the game Myst.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So, the United States National Institute for Standards and Technology.
Okay.
NIST has a lot of say on cryptography and security and things like that. So, for instance, the FBI, they require if you're going to use encryption and you're on the FBI network, you're required to use what's called NIST FIPS 140-2. It's got to be NIST compliant. And this, so basically, it's a government agency. They set all these rules and standards on technology.
So if I'm on 140-1, I need to upgrade?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it.
Sweet.
So they came out with, and this is an article from Sophos.com. Sophos is a big security company.
Yep.
NIST has some new password rules, and what they're actually doing might make passwords stronger but easier to remember.
Do tell.
So what they're talking about is making the passwords more user-friendly by making them longer but making it a passphrase. And we've talked about this before, that passphrase will be a stronger password. They're recommending, you know, there's a lot of systems out there that say your password can't be any longer than 16 characters. NIST is saying allow maximum length of at least 64 characters. You know, some of these systems that have been built in the past, their database size can't accommodate something that large.
Right.
Well, they're saying, please do this.
Let's just ratchet it right up to Twitter standards and make it an even 140 characters, because everyone's used to that anyways.
Yeah, your password should be a full tweet.
Including hashtag don't steal this.
Exactly.
As
so
part of that.
A lot of what they're recommending is actually pretty interesting. In fact, even a lot of times there's a standard password rotation like every 60 days, and they're not recommending that anymore. They're saying if you've got a strong password, then why change it so often?
Right.
So let me see what it says.
Well, I know. While you're looking that up, speaking about that part of it, I do remember there was a big debate when I used to work with Wells Fargo, and we'd work with people in their online, you know, Wells Fargo banking accounts all the time and help set them up and everything. And that app would tell you all the time, you know, every 30 days or 60 days or whatever, just to reset your password. But there was a big debate going on in the company if they were going to recommend that anymore, because the more that people had to change the passwords, the more likely they were to just write them down and make it more vulnerable. So,
and people tend to write it down, but also with password rotation, what we see a lot of is people using the same like beginning of the, so it'd be like fall 2017. And then all of a sudden, you know, 60 days later, it's winter 2017. Right. A lot of really insecure ways to do it. So what NIST is saying is getting rid of the composition rules. So no more forcing you to say you got to use one lowercase and one uppercase and one number and some symbols. And this is stuff that Microsoft has adopted, like with Microsoft Active Directory and their password. Yeah. If you have strong passwords turned on, they're forcing you to abide by these rules. They're encouraging people longer phrases, harder to, you know, instead of hard to remember passwords that like with fake complexity, like I've got a lot of passwords that it's like, if my password is going to be keyboard, it's going to be K E and then like maybe a capital B and then a zero and then an at sign, you know, it's spelling out keyboard and then some letters, and that stuff is so hard to remember that we now have to have complicated password vaults. And some people store stuff in an Excel file. And I knew one person that stored their stuff in, I think they're favorites. There's just a lot of different ways to do it. And so having a password that's actually memorable but harder to crack is great. And like I said, they're saying no more expiration without a reason.
Right.
If we want users to comply and choose long, hard to guess passwords, we shouldn't make them change them unnecessarily. The only times passwords should be reset is when they're forgotten or if they've been phished or you think it's been your password database has been stolen. So they've got I'll link the article up in our show notes. They've got a pretty interesting take on this. One of the issues that I see with this is legacy systems. So anything that's that was built back in the olden days that cannot accommodate things. We used to strip out password like some special characters to prevent SQL injection. We're talking old development days, just for security reasons, we'd strip out some characters and not allow them in passwords and stuff. And that stuff is, we're seeing the industry just change tremendously there. So it could be interesting. We could see a complete shift in how passwords are done over time if this kind of gets pushed out.
Could I run my password by you, Adam, and see how secure it is?
Absolutely.
All right. I like to mix, you know, uppercase, lowercase, and symbols. I do, let's see, mine is capital P, the at symbol,
got it,
S-S-W-0-R-D. Now, is that a pretty good one? I have everything in there, right?
It's technically, it's very strong, according to LastPass.com. this could be almost a good garnish. There's a few tools out there that will let you test your password strength.
Right.
Now, I don't recommend going to something and putting in your actual password to test the strength, because you never know if somebody's logging it. LastPass.com is, they're a big cloud-based password management tool for businesses, but they have this password checker that's kind of checking the strength of your password for you. So if you're going to use one of these, and I'll put this in the show notes. If you're going to use a checker like this, enter something that's really close to what you've got, so you're not actually entering your real password.
Right.
But it can be interesting to see how easy it is for some of this stuff to be cracked.
Well, just to let you know, Adam, I actually have been using LastPass for about a year. No joking.
Okay.
I use it on my phone, and what's really nice about it, I have LastPass, which stores everything, and then I have LastPass Authenticator, which anytime I load up an app like my banking apps and stuff, and I tap into the password block, it pops up. It says log into LastPass, you know, a little pop up. Yep. So I put in my LastPass password into it, and then it automatically enters LastPass enters my real password for the site. So I can have a super strong, totally unmemorable password for every single app that I have, and I just have to remember that one password.
Nice. And now LastPass did get compromised once, but I don't.
Oh, great! Everything I do gets compromised.
If I remember from the article, none of the actual data was taken. It was like somebody poked a hole somewhere. They're encrypting everything, but that kind of So where I work, I've been looking for a password management that would be good for a team. Mm. And I'd want it to be on premise. That's just kind of my nature, is that I don't want to have a huge password list full of domain admins on the internet somewhere.
Right.
From a personal standpoint, I don't have as big of a deal with it. I use KeePass, and I said it that way so it doesn't sound like I said keep ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you just did.
Yeah, but I explained it in context. So you guys would be like, what are you using?
Ha ha.
Oh, we are.
You know what? Instead of swearing, I like to say truck all the time, so I don't say.
Yeah. Duck.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
No, we Muck. What you don't remember is that we already teased you a bunch about KeePass. Because
it sounded familiar.
Yeah, you guys had talked a little bit early on in the show about some of the password security and stuff, and it's a great callback for listeners. I don't know exactly which episode that was, but it was early on in the show. And if I can find which one it is, I'll try and throw that in the show notes too, because you guys went in a little deeper to password security and some of the programs and stuff you're using.
Yep.
As a reminder, though, for people, I'll try and find that, but if we can throw the links to LastPass and LastPass Authenticator and those different things you're talking about into the show notes, that way listeners just check that. If you're using... just a quick kind of housekeeping. If you're using a podcatcher like Overcast or something like that, usually if you just swipe your screen to the left, I guess it would be, it'll bring up all the show notes with links and everything right there. You can click right from your podcast player.
It'll let us know that you think we're attractive.
Yeah, right. And then if you go, of course, to digitalsuitpodcast.com, all of the links and articles and information are all linked up right there on every single show episode as well. So,
all right, later, Gators. Oh, wait, I thought we were ending you. I'm sorry.
So, speaking of KeePass,
yeah. Oh boy,
we got this voicemail.
Yeah,
I want to preface this that this is not a family friendly voicemail. So if you've got children listening, you might want to mute that or put your headphones on.
Yep.
But we did have we played this just before we started recording here. It's a very interesting voicemail that. I think that we'll find intriguing, and we wanted to talk about.
Right.
We had a listener send this in, and so I'm going to let it speak for itself, Jason. Well, if you want to cue
one
that up.
One thing before you start, I want to make clear that yes, as you said, this was supported earmuffs for the kids, or skip forward, or if you're at work or whatever. But very important that this is not a joke email or voicemail. This is actually a very serious voicemail we got from one of our Digital Soup listeners, which is awesome. Yep. And, totally unsolicited. We weren't doing a Dear Digital Soup episode or anything like that. Just something that came in and someone had a very interesting and unfortunate situation happen. And so take a listen to this. Stick with it. The voicemail is a little long, but it's a pretty crazy story. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit right after this. Yep.
Hey, Digital Soup. This is Jeremy from South Carolina, and I'm calling today to tell you a story that happened to me a few days ago in hopes that you guys could give me some advice on where to go from here. So I was on Facebook, and I got a friend request from this girl. I clicked on her profile. She was cute. She had a bunch of photos of her, photos of friends and her family, a bunch of posts. So I went Messenger and I waved at her. They have that new waving button that you can click. She said, oh, hello, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm good. You know, just watching YouTube videos. What about you? She said, all right. And she asked me my age. I told her. Then she told me. And then she asked me if I lived alone or with my parents. And I was like, why are you asking such personal information right off the bat? That's kind of sketchy. And she's like, I just want to get to know you more. Well, then she FaceTimes me. I answer it. Relieved to know that it was actually her that I was looking at. She asked me if I could see her. I could. I told her yes. And then she just starts, you know, playing with her breasts. Slowly takes off her shirt and camera pans down to her, you know, her lower half. And she's, you know, messing about down there. And then, I don't know, not even 30 seconds later, she was completely naked, dancing in front of the camera. And at this point, I'm pretty into it. You know, it's been a while since, this young man has, you know, even been intimate with a woman. So then she asked me if she could see, you know, my parts. So as stupid as I am, I took the camera off my face and put it, you know, down on my lower section. And all of a sudden, her video cuts out. If you ever use FaceTime, you're that little box in the corner that has your face. That's all I saw. And then a recording of me, you know, panning the camera from my face to my crotch just kept replaying and replaying. And then I get a bunch of paragraphs in my messages, like, super quick. And she said, beautiful video, isn't it? Be a shame if this got out. I was like, what is going on right now? She said, if you don't do as I say, if you try to run, if you try to call the cops, if you try to block me, I will start posting this video on all your family and friends' wall. So just do as I say and answer all my questions as they're asked. And I said, okay, what do you want from me? She said, I'm going to make you a proposal. If you follow through, I'll delete your video and we can just go our separate ways. I said, okay, what's your proposal? She sent me a link and she told me to click on the link and read back to her what it said. The link was to a YouTube video and it said mother with three starving children in Africa. I told her that and she said, I want you to donate $1,600 to that family. I said, well, I don't have $1,600. I'm a broke college student. She said, well, what's the best you could do? I said, $100 at the most. And she said, okay, that'll work. At this point, the fact that she was giving in to everything I was saying kind of made me want to call her bluff about posting that video everywhere. So I told her I could donate $100. A button popped up. It said donate 100. I clicked on it, button didn't work, said person is unavailable to receive donations at this time. I kept telling her button didn't work, but she was getting frustrated because I wasn't donating. And I was like, listen, it's not working. I can't donate. She's like, well, do you have a debit card or credit card? I said, I have a debit card. She said, I'm going to call you back, answer my call, and I want you to show me this card. And I was like, oh, hell no, I know where this is going. And I just didn't message her back. But she messaged me shortly after not answering her call, saying, I will ruin your life, believe me. And so far, it's been like 3 days. So far, nothing has happened. But there is a site where this video is located. And I just want to know, should I be worried about this video getting out? Or do you think that she's really not going to do anything, but she was just trying to blackmail me to get money? It didn't work, so she's just going to leave the situation alone. What do you guys think? Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Oh, so yeah, that's a heavy one, and I kept waiting for like a punchline, but then it got really serious. Mm-hmm. That is awful,
right?
And scary, and basically, it reminded me, there's an episode of Black Mirror. I don't know if you guys ever saw that series.
No, I have.
Where this kind of happens. Some kid goes online, and no one's around. He looks at something he shouldn't and does something inappropriate, and they've recorded him through his webcam the whole time. And they basically say, we're going to ruin your life unless you do what we say. And this whole show, this voicemail eerily reminds me of that. A quick search on this kind of topic reveals there's something called sextortion. And it's been cropping up here and there. The FBI itself even has something to say about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, real quick, we at the Digital Soup Podcast are not legal experts. We're not offering any kind of legal advice. Right. We're just offering opinion only. So there's a few things that, you know, number one, don't pay them. And, you know, don't panic. Is there anything to worry about? In my opinion, if somebody has a video of you in a compromising position online somewhere, I wouldn't be happy about that. I would do everything possible to try to figure out how to get that taken down. What they're saying is don't panic. Don't communicate further. Take screenshots of all your correspondence. Some are saying suspend your Facebook account and use the online reporting process to sites like Skype and YouTube to have any video blocked.
Right.
set up.
Oh, that's good advice. I didn't even think about that when I was listening to this. If you were to actually cancel your Facebook account, then that would basically nullify anything they could do. Probably,
they won't be able to tag you at the very least. And you know, report, set up an alert in case a video resurfaces. Don't pay them. Preserve all your evidence. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, contact law enforcement. Explain the situation to them. It's a very sensitive situation. If this, especially with what it is, you know, see what they can do for you. There's a lot of what do you call it? Forensics and cybercrime divisions and areas of things. So that being said, this stuff is happening, and as a society, we need to, and as just a general safety precaution, always be careful about what we're, you know, being careful about what we're doing to prevent this kind of stuff.
Right.
Never, ever send a compromised image of yourself to anyone, no matter who they are, who they say they are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just turn off your electronic devices, cover your webcams. You know, there's a reason that we see a lot of the webcams. If you go to like a trade show or something, a lot of times they'll have these little giveaways with their logo on it, and it's something that'll fit over your webcam.
Right.
I block my webcam on my laptop and on my computer. I don't do it on my phone because that would just be too inconvenient. But it's pretty scary. There's a lot worse ones that have happened, and a lot of it has to do with children.
Yeah.
That is out there, and that is just downright scary. But this is it's pretty terrifying. I'm really sorry to hear that you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just go after the authorities. Also, according to the FBI, if you believe you're a victim of this or you know someone it is, they say call the local FBI office or toll free at 1-800-CALL-FBI. And I'm not kidding about that. That is the FBI, the federal government's actual, they've recognized this as a problem and they said call us and they may be able to do something for you. So this is all Adam talking. That's my advice.
Right.
I want to hear about my cohorts here, what you guys think of this.
Well, my first thought here is iPhone. He got FaceTimed. Can you spoof a FaceTime call? Or, I mean, is that so interlocked into Apple's ecosystem that just with that, he might be able to track this person down, or at least give the FaceTime information to the police, and they could legitimately track this person down?
Yeah, that's possible. And you wonder too, I mean, it's unfortunate in not that you'd want to go to this extreme, but it almost makes you feel like if you ever do get some kind of a call, like a FaceTime call or Messenger, you know, video chat, Skype, anything like that, if you have a way to somehow even screen capture, because he said she showed her face, she showed her body, everything else, they'd at least have a person. You know, they might not have a name or a location, but something more. So, I mean, that's something more. I mean, obviously, hindsight 2020, you're not expecting that. But I mean,
I just had another thought here, which is something else that we haven't been focusing on here, but is kind of scary. He mentioned she sent him a link to a YouTube video about a mother with starving children. Yeah. And there's like a GoFundMe or some kind of donation thing.
Mm-hmm.
What a low down tactic to use.
Yeah.
Because not only, you know, if somebody views a video, they might be like, oh, I do need to give money to this person.
Yeah, right.
You can take a video and upload it and say it's yours and have a link to your own donation page. That's what they're doing.
Yep.
And you know, now they're just using that to get around the whole thing. And
right.
They could be changing the link every time. And
yeah.
It's going to be really hard to trace this stuff. They might not even be in the United States.
Right. Or, you know, worse yet would be if it is some family or something out of country that's struggling and they've chosen to go this route to try and raise funds for themselves that they legitimately need help. I mean, there's always that possibility too, even though it's a far-fetched one. But either way you look at it, it's horrible. But I think that the best thing you can do, I mean, obviously speaking as, you know, like we said, non-legal advice or anything like that, purely just my opinion would be, you know, like you said, it's a very sensitive topic, and it's going to be very hard to go to the police and say, hey, look, this is what happened. I showed my, you know, private parts in a video thinking it was something, you know, fairly safe, and I got burned by it. But
yep.
The fact of the matter is, you know, unfortunately, You made the choice to do that. Now all you can do is kind of own up to it and call the authorities, call everyone else. I mean, honestly, just myself, I might be half tempted just for my own peace of mind to talk to some of my close family, you know, my parents, my siblings, things like that, and say, hey, look, I made a mistake. This is very uncomfortable. This is what happened to me. And what I did was stupid, but you know what? If something shows up, I want to make sure this thing has no teeth for me, you know, regarding personal relationships with your family or anything else, rather than let him get blindsided by it if that does happen.
I think that's a good point, Dave. The getting in front of this thing to keep some of that pressure off. I want to add something here that I think is really important, and that is, you know, this kind of thing has probably, and I guarantee, has caused people to take their own lives before.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
Do not do that. It is not that bad.
No.
To the point where you need to do that. So if that's even a thought or even the beginning of a thought in your mind, strike it now.
Right.
You're way more valuable than that. You know, people make mistakes. This kind of crap happens. Yeah. It's unfortunate because there's evil jerks in the world. Right. Don't let that take you down, you know, move on from this, because I guarantee they've moved on to another victim at this point.
Right.
So do what you absolutely can. I think, Dave, that was some pretty good advice there.
I mean, most of the time you're going to find your family they may joke about it 5 years from now. Like, hey, remember that time this happened and you did that? You know, it might become a joke. Right now it's no laughing matter, of course, but even if it's just for your own peace of mind, and so you don't go to that dark place like Adam's talking about, just to sit down and talk with your parents. I mean, I think about something like that. The people I'd want to talk to would be people like my parents, you know, my siblings, maybe even like grandparents, or, you know, I don't know that I'd mention it to my bosses or anything like that, because you know what, if it never comes up, they're never going to know about it. And if it does, you know, you own it, and you can, if you followed the other steps and contacted the FBI and contacted law enforcement, everything else, you can come back at anyone that says, well, what'd you do that for? And say, look, I made a mistake, but it's in the hands of law enforcement. Now I've done the right things after. Definitely don't beat yourself up too hard about it. Yep. But at the same time, hopefully you've learned, you know, don't do this kind of thing again, no matter how long it's been for you, because it's a scary world. I know, Adam, you can probably speak to this too, as far as being in a band and a musician. I mean, I've been playing in bars and establishments and other, you know, concert venues, whatever else, for years now. And I remember when I first got started, one thing that was always so common was you'd be out playing, and as the night went on and the drinks were flowing more and more, girls and sometimes guys would start losing clothing, you know, and it's, oh, the band is there, and they're throwing stuff up on stage and giving the band members a show. And with the rise of cell phones and, you know, video devices and pictures and stuff that people have, you just don't see that happening anymore very, very often. And when it does, it's such a huge risk because everyone's got that phone.
You can't erase it.
Yeah, and it is out there.
You can't erase the internet.
Yeah, anything you do is out there for good. I mean, you know, so just be very careful out there on the internet. I mean, you never want to kind of inspire that mindset of you need to walk around terrified all the time, but just be careful going forward. But in this situation, you know, get a hold of your law enforcement, FBI, and, you know, hopefully enough time. And like he said in the call, it's been a few days and nothing's happened. Hopefully, like you said, they just moved on to other victims and nothing will ever come of it. And that's what our hope is for you. Yeah. Was it Jeremy?
That's his real name. Right. Hopefully you didn't give us your real name, Jeremy, from South Carolina.
Well, and if he did, but, I mean, it's at least just a first name and no big deal, but
now we know who you are. Right. No, I'm kidding. This was something that would, you know, the other thing, take into account, this goes back to don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, you did something that, you know, was a bad choice, you know, because of the result of it, but your intentions weren't, you know,
right.
Like
that's the,
I'm going to go out and make a porn video. You know, it was nothing like that. What you were intending was a private thing.
It's not like
and
you were,
they've taken that and turned it into blackmail.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's kind of the heart of the matter. It wasn't
exactly,
you know, I'm not saying what you did is right. I'm not there, but I'm not passing judgment on you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's, the intent there, like you say, is huge.
It's just a crap situation. Yeah,
it's not like you see from, you know, who was it? Not a mayor out in New York. His name was Weiner, Anthony Weiner. He kept sending pictures and cheating on his wife and all this stuff.
Of what?
Exactly. Brett Favre did the same thing to an intern while he was playing with the Jets.
Sent pictures of his Favre.
He Favre'd all over the place. And You know, that kind of intent, when you're doing something like that and just sending it out to somebody, that's a much different scenario. But what you did, I mean, it was supposed to be a private moment, and
yeah, they stole that and turned it and twisted it.
Right.
On it. So it's unfortunate. Like I said, that's the best advice we can give. Check in with the FBI authorities. Don't panic. Don't lose your cool.
Yeah.
You will get through it. And, you know, that's all. And I got.
Definitely some good advice there, guys. And as probably our listeners and you guys noticed, I didn't say a whole lot during that because, you know, I kind of like to think of myself as a guy that brings the funny, and I just couldn't even think of anything for that. And I wouldn't want to either.
Well, you brought the Anthony Weiner joke, so I mean.
But that was at the very end where we're kind of doing
Well, you know, and most importantly, we do want to say thank you for reaching out and taking the time to send that in to us. I mean, that's awesome that you did that. Thank you for listening as well. We really do appreciate that. And for those, you know, listeners of the show that have been with us for a while, that's why I stressed this up front in the beginning. We have done, some shows in the past. One show I can think of, our Dear Digital Soup April Fool's episode, where we had a bunch of fake callers, basically. They were real people, but it was all staged. And this absolutely was not one of those situations. This was a legitimate call from one of our awesome super friends. Right. So.
I'm going to add something here. We are going to have a show coming up related to what we're referring to as Dark Tales from the World Wide Web. And this kind of story would fit perfectly in there. It's anything web related that is just terrifying, scary. Yep.
We
should ask our listeners to submit some stuff to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be personal, you know, and obviously you can leave your name out or give a fake name or whatever the scenario is. But, we're not going to blow your cover if you send us in a fake name or say anonymous or something like that. But, even if you've got stories where it's people, you know, that have done stuff, you know, and whatnot, definitely send it in, because this call absolutely, you know, it's something we've been toying around with, the idea of Adam's been putting together some, beginning stages research into the topic, because we thought it'd be kind of fun for our listeners. And this call really spurred that in and said, you know what? Yeah, we need to do this, because, you know, if for nothing else, to let this guy know, you know, because it's very real today, that threat of depression and suicide and things like that, where if nothing else, let this guy know, like, hey, look, you're not alone. There's scary stuff that happens out here all the time. Don't worry. Everything's going to work out okay in the end. Whichever way it goes, and just, you know, chin up, move forward, and keep plugging away. So,
right.
And what was our caller's name again?
Do you guys think remember? It was Jeremy.
It was Jeremy from South Carolina. Yeah. He said,
"Okay, well, Jeremy, I'd just like to ask you. We don't know exactly when we're going to do this episode here, but I would really appreciate it if you could, you know, let us know how this ended. You know, who you contacted. You know, possibly if you know the." You know, everything got settled for you and what you did to rectify the situation, because this might help somebody else.
Right.
That might have a similar issue. So, if you want to get back to us in a month or so, or whenever this gets, completed, definitely do that, because we'd like to hear good things.
Good point, Jason.
Right.
I'm going to add one more thing before we move on here. And that is, so before we started recording, Jason said he had this long voicemail and I asked him to play it. So he played that voicemail for us, and we're very jovial, very joking in here, but we could tell by the end of it, we were somber. We were quiet for a few seconds before we could even comment. It was wow.
Right.
So, I mean, that was pretty stunning. I like your idea, Jason. If we can get Jeremy to follow up with us, even if it's an email saying, you know, it doesn't have to be a voice recording, but if it, you know, something, our listeners might be curious as well to see how this turns out.
Yep.
So, and it's, I'd love to know what the FBI actually tells you when you call them.
Right. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, what I'm going to do right here before we go into the rest of our topics that are a little more lighthearted, why don't we take a second and just talk about, like we do every week, the fact that we are a very proud member of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network. We like to take a little bit of time every single episode and feature one of the shows on this amazing podcast network that we're a part of. And this week I wanted to tell you guys about the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Basically, to give you a quick summary here, each week, three fans of all things Marvel Comic Universe, director Stargate Pioneer, Agent Haley, and Agent Lauren, debrief you on the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or other related Marvel Universe content and news. From the Marvel-based Netflix shows to the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies like Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, the trio of agents break down the plots, give the comic backgrounds to the storylines, of course, laugh at their own imaginations with some theories and everything else. So be sure and join their live chat room as they record Wednesday nights or drop them some feedback to review on the show. And for those of you that don't know this, over at the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, which you can find at GunnaGeek.com, they've got, I think, over 20 shows now, including Digital Soup. You'll find our episodes over there as well as at our normal website at DigitalSoupPodcast.com. But Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually live streams their shows on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you ever want to check out what a podcast looks like in a live show format, jump on over there, check out geeks.live, and you're going to be able to see a schedule of all the upcoming shows and jump in and join the chat rooms on some of these because they're a lot of fun, and it's kind of cool to see a podcast happening and be a part of it, throwing in your own two cents while they're recording in the chat room. So Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Gunna Geek Network, GunnaGeek.com. And one other bit of housekeeping that I wanted to bring up, and we've mentioned this before. We took
housekeeping,
yeah.
Housekeeping? You want to make
perfume? Okay, okay. I so wanted to do that, but I didn't because there's another podcast I listen to where they do feedback at the beginning of the show, and it's called Housekeeping.
Oh, sorry.
And one of the hosts goes, housekeeping, every single time.
I didn't mean to steal that because, as you guys know, I don't listen to any other shows.
Well, that is true.
This is true. What I wanted to bring up here real fast was that if you guys remember, listeners, I mean, a few weeks ago, a few episodes ago, we talked about how we were taking part in a fantastic Hurricane Harvey Victims podcast pack. That's what the name of this project was. And basically, we recorded a special exclusive episode of Digital Soup Podcast for this podcast pack. Yep, you're not going to hear it anywhere else. It's going out only as a part of this pack, and it is a fundraiser. Basically going out to help raise money to support the Hurricane Harvey victims down in the Texas and Houston areas there. So that podcast pack went live last week here, right after we recorded, about a day or two after. And so we've got a link in the show notes, which you can see. We do encourage you to go over there. This is actually a pretty fantastic deal. You pledge $10 to the campaign, and you'll get a link to download the podcast pack, which is going to include 48 exclusive episodes from 48 different podcasts. So quite an amazing variety of shows. And then, like I said, all the proceeds at $10, or you can pledge more if you want, but for just $10, you're going to get 48 different podcast shows. It's not all from the Gunna Geek Network, although
that's a lot of shows.
That's right. There, you know, we were a part of it, as were one or two other shows.
Stealing my segues and my catchphrases.
Yeah, we were a part of this.
I'm getting shoved out of this thing.
As were a number of other shows.
It's the Jason and Usually Dave show.
Right. Well, and, you know, there was a gentleman named Justin Corbett from the Mind Fudge podcast, I think it's called. He put this all together, so kudos to him. And we do encourage you guys, if you want to hear not only the special episode of Digital Soup Podcast, which we did, should we give him a little teaser? What did we do for that episode?
We had a game show.
A little bit of a game show.
Whoa! You guys have got to listen to it.
Yeah, one of our favorite segments to do here. We did a special game show with a little bit of chat afterwards. So go check that out. And then check out the 47 other shows on the podcast pack, because there's some really great stuff out there. So Hurricane Harvey Victims Podcast Pack, link is in the show notes. And we've also got it pinned on our Facebook page and Twitter page as well. So what do we have for fun news?
I was going to say, speaking of hurricanes,
yeah,
Apple's stealing its own thunder.
Rock me like a hurricane.
That's right. Oh, man.
So, yeah, Jason, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Have you guys heard about an iPhone 8? It's been in the news a lot lately. People have been talking about it. It's like the next great thing. It's like the iPhone 7. But one better is what I've been hearing.
Yeah. Kind of like, you mean like Windows 8 was one better than Windows 7?
Exactly. Yeah. And
false.
And speaking of Windows, Is Apple copying Windows here?
Sure seems like it.
It kind of does because they've also announced the iPhone X, or is it 10?
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways.
I thought it was the iPhone Xbox.
One
that's
X.
Really copying Microsoft there.
Well, that is Microsoft.
Yeah, that's like that's really copying Microsoft.
I see. Yep, I got you.
Yes, but that's what I'm getting at here, because I see some places are calling it the 10 or the X. Yep. Now, if they legitimately are calling it the 10, they've done exactly what Microsoft did, and they completely skipped 9. Why is the number 9 a bad number now? Is that like a 13? Are we going to get the iPhone 12 to 14 possibly?
Was there? Oh, Samsung's on the 8s right now, aren't they?
Yeah, so we'll see if they go to 10 or if they do a 9.
Say, let's see.
That'd
what
be cool.
There.
But so the iPhone, you know, they're, as Dave said, they're stealing their own thunder from the 8. It's like, hey, we got the brand new 8 coming out here, but we also have the X for
really
Xtreme.
Yeah,
it's so Xtreme.
You can listen to your iTunes while slamming a Mountain Dew. Yeah. Xtreme.
I thought the X stood for expensive.
It does. It starts at $9.99. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Do you guys know what one of the biggest reasons that was put out for why Windows 9 never happened?
No.
Because Windows used to have versions like 95 and Windows 98.
Oh, yeah.
And so they didn't want any confusion with software versioning if it was Windows 9.
I could see that, actually.
If there was other products that had to use it, you know, if it starts with Windows 9, which could be 95 or 98, then do this. That was kind of the internal rumor that came off of Reddit a long time ago. But
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah.
I thought they just wanted to stay pace with Mac OS. You know, I thought that's what
I figured they just wanted to really distance themselves from crap Windows 8.
Right.
You know what? Windows 8 was not complete crap. The Metro or the modern, whatever.
Okay,
they, no.
Bill Gates.
No, I'm
nice
serious.
Try.
You threw something on there. I can't even remember what it was called Poop. Anymore because it's been so long. That added the
well, it was a
know,
special shell command.
Back.
Yeah, it was like the start shell or what classic shell or
classic
something like
shell.
That.
Yeah, and it worked fantastic. Now, Windows 8 was better than Windows 7 in, you know, a lot of different. This is not Windows Millennium, dude. Don't even look at me like
no,
that.
No, wasn't
Windows
Vista
8,
the?
Our Vista was the worst, but Millennium was pretty bad too.
Yeah.
But no, Windows 8 was really good. I it was stable. It worked great for
You're
me.
You're about to start some internet fights there, Jason.
Let's do it, man.
I'm just not an early adopter, so I'm still running Windows 7.
I thought you were going to say, I'm still on 9 to 5.
No, there's a reason, there's a reason a lot of businesses are still on Windows 7 and transitioning straight to 10 because Windows 8 is that it's that in between thing that nobody would adopt because of that interface without having to add Classic Shell to it. Classic Shell made it usable, and then it was almost no different than 7 in my opinion.
Right.
But the interface changes they changed so much of it that it became suddenly very unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Windows 10 brought a lot of those features from 7 back to it.
It merged the two, but it
doesn't mean you can't like it and love it
and
want some more of it.
Here's the thing, though. For gaming and stuff, though, Adam, they did say they got a few frames per second more with Windows 8 because of the optimization of the OS, etc. Once you got rid of that stupid Metro, you know, UI thing and you actually had your standard start button, the system was 7 with improvements. It really was. I mean, and I tried to explain it to some people because I used it in all my systems, you know, once I was able to get rid of the stupid touch interface.
Yep. And it was the interface that really made it. Most people, you know, most standard average consumers aren't going to be loading that extra stuff and recognizing a few extra frames, though.
Right.
I see your point there, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I get it.
But we kind of got off the rails here. Let's get back to the iPhone. Now, the iPhone X.
Yeah.
Now, this, like we were talking about, it does start at $9.99,
yep. And that's
which is a healthy hunk, and that's probably going to be with like just 2 gigs of RAM.
You're a healthy hunk.
Oh,
hey, I heard the iPhone 8's great as long as you change the interface.
Oh man.
now let's cover a couple of the great features, you know, and standouts here and stuff. Now
it has screen on it.
It does. Let's talk about Face ID.
Boom.
I don't know exactly what the Face ID with the iPhone 8 is going to be like. They have said that it's going to be able to, you take a picture, put it in front of it, and you might be able to unlock it with that because it uses a total 2D, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, the Microsoft Surfaces, and there's those options in Windows 10 currently.
I don't use it.
Okay.
But what I was hitting at here was the Face ID on the X. They're saying it's more of a, it takes like a 3D dimensional look at your face.
Right.
So you won't be able to just throw a flat picture up there and all of a sudden it unlocks because it's going to use more blah, blah, blah.
But I also saw something saying that they're concerned. I think it was about women primarily. Something to do. I thought the article said, and I don't have it in front of me, I apologize, but because their makeup can change so much from one day to the next or throughout the course of the day, it could cause problems where all of a sudden you can't get into your phone.
Or a guy that shaves his beard.
Right. And yeah, that's the other
yeah,
thing.
Possibly.
On the flip side of that, I did see articles also saying that the face recognition.
Women shave their beard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, over in Russia. No.
The bearded lady. Yeah.
No, that they were saying that even if you're wearing sunglasses, up to huge varieties of sunglasses, it's still smart enough to recognize your face. So we'll have to see when it comes out, I guess. Facial recognition, though, if that's the only way to get this phone opened up, boy, that'd make me nervous.
Oh, there's no way they would make that the only way. It's probably a way.
Yeah.
Because even currently on the iPhones, you can either use Touch ID or use your PIN.
Yeah, that's true.
So they'll probably still do that.
Does that mean you could unlock somebody's phone but if they're unconscious by grabbing the back of their head and like pointing it at their phone?
Actually not.
You'd have to cut off
their head
first.
They were talking about this too. Is you cannot be in a crowded area, grab somebody's phone, and then try to point it at them because it has to be a direct on look. And if you're trying to get somebody's, into somebody's thing, you're not going to put it directly in their face.
Well, what I mean is like,
but you can't get it from like a side a little bit or anything.
Let's say Chad from Hazard, Nebraska puts some kind of, knockout juice on a napkin, knocks somebody out, and then holds the phone over their face. And
well, possibly.
Well, I think at that point, the least of your problems is if they got into your phone.
Oh, no. It's like, wait a second.
I mean,
don't update my status.
Yeah, we've all seen the movies where they pluck out an eyeball into a retina scanner, and I don't know that that would work either. But so when people start cutting off heads cutting off faces,
you're cutting off heads. Take his hand. Yeah, we're going to open his phone.
We talked about that at the last show with the Highlander.
Yeah.
You absorb their power. Highlander uses iPhone 10. Yeah,
there can be only one.
Or is it X?
I am Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod.
I need my iPhone unlocked.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
I went from Scottish to Spanish.
Yes. All right. Now, Adam, I'm going to have to use a little bit of help from you on this next feature here. It is a 64-bit processor, and it does have 6 cores.
That's a lot of cores.
For a phone.
Yeah. That's a lot of cores. But I suppose if they're processing 3D imagery with 30,000 different points on your face, right. You're going to need some cores for that.
Now, that is a lot of cores for for an iPhone. I believe that's the most cores ever in an iPhone. My Android phone has 8 cores. So it's an octa-core.
Tough guy.
Yeah, I'll take you on, buddy. Now, the screen is beautiful. I don't know if did you guys watch the video on the, it's a 5.8-inch Super Retina display. Super, not just regular, Super Retina display. It's OLED.
I've got a problem with this.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what your problem is. Not big enough screen?
No, screen size is fine. My biggest concern is that the OLED technology is notorious for pixel burn-in. It happens on everything. And so they're labeling it this Super Retina display, I think to kind of try and hide the fact that it's an OLED display, an OLED display. And to me, that'd be my biggest concern with this thing is if you are spending $1,000 on what is the small model at 64 gigs of data when I look this up, capacity or more if you get the next size up, which is 256 gigabytes. I mean, you could be spending $1,500 on a phone that the screen is going to burn in on this thing potentially. And that would be my biggest concern on it.
But this is Apple. And right. Yes, they have had some issues with some screens in the past, like in their IMAX and stuff. I believe the 2009 was IMAX was pretty famous for it. Well, a lot of the screens went bad. But overall, I mean, especially in the phone realm, have you heard of any of the screens been bad?
Yeah, not on Apple because they're using a different display right now. But
I understand that, but you don't think. They had to have done a lot of research, a lot of testing on this before they roll it out. So
I would hope so, but I know a lot of other phones, Samsung, I believe, a lot of the Android base that have the OLED screens already, there's a lot of them that do already have issues with burn-in, and they try and do some things software-wise, like shifting pixels and everything else, and all it ends up doing is essentially burning in and hatching the screen all over. So that would be a big concern I have. But, I mean, like you say, hopefully they've done their research, but I don't know that I'm willing to gamble out of the gate and spend $1,000 on this or more and find out that that's what ends up happening. Now, so,
two things on this. One, I am glad from the pictures that they didn't change out the charging, like the connecting interface again.
Right.
So lightning. That's great.
Isn't it a USB-C?
No, it's lightning.
Oh, it still is lightning? Yeah. Now, there was rumored that the next Apple, because you know that their MacBooks and everything did go USB-C.
Yep.
So there was rumored that the next iPhones would use USB-C, but I guess not.
Yeah, they are using lightning, and they added in, of course, the built-in, I forget what it's called, QI, wireless charging, I believe was the term.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The big thing with this over the 8 is with the cameras, right? They give
you did say cameras.
Yep.
Well, I guess the eight has dual too.
8
doesn't
plus
it?
has dual. Yeah. And so the big difference though is that they give you the optical image stabilization on the X. It works on both of the lenses in there, whereas on the 8 it only works on the wide angle lens, not the zoomed in portrait part of the lens. And they added it, I believe, to the front facing camera as well. So you're going to get those much better phone or much better camera features on the front facing and rear facing screen cameras for both lenses. So
the other thing I was going to bring up related to the camera and all this stuff on capturing your face and very, very detailed facial recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this data going? Is Apple, this stuff getting up? Is your profile of all how to match your face going up to Apple where suddenly if we need to track you down in a crowd, Apple could do it?
Yeah, good point.
I'm curious about what the privacy implications are if this stuff is, if there's some algorithm and a photo of you that can be applied into an Apple system that can recognize your face, and based on what this is doing, very advanced 3D imaging,
right,
they could pick you up from the side of your face.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep.
But the 3D imaging has to be that good for the biggest feature on this. It's the Animojis.
Right.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you're buying this phone. Is for the Animojis.
Right.
Definitely.
I want to reveal my inner robot.
I tell you what, I will not be buying the X, but I am looking seriously at the 8
Plus. X going to give it to you.
I just think for me, I haven't seen enough out of the X that would make me want to do it, but the 8 Plus is intriguing. I mean, it's still done. They're claiming it's not done. It's not a filter. It's not, you know, anything like that, but they've added these new features in there for the lighting, portrait lighting, they can, you know, mimic. They analyze a scene and let you choose right on the phone how you want that lighting to impact your photo. It's a filter, let's be honest. There's no way, it's software. That's what it is. It's not actually lighting anything. But, I mean, some of the improvements on here over my 6S Plus, it makes me kind of look at it because when my plan comes due here, I think in February or March, and I might very well look at that 8 Plus as a good step up, although I might just go with the 7 Plus because there's nothing wrong with that one right now either.
You have the 6 Plus, right, Dave?
Yep, 6S Plus.
6S. Oh, sweet. Now, are you going to trade that in, or are you going to hold on to that for?
Well, I would trade it in because I'm on the it's not a contract.
You have to trade it.
It's not a contract, you guys.
Yeah, remember that conversation?
I'm still sorry about that, Dave.
That's all right. I do.
I loved it, though.
I do have to trade it in. Otherwise, yeah, I'd absolutely hook you up. But
well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I would love it because you're AT&T or whatever it's called over there. Yep. So that would work with what I run. So.
Right.
Hey, speaking of loving it, Nintendo might be re-releasing the NES Classic.
Yeah.
Summer.
Look at that.
They are in summer 2018. Will be re-releasing, or would this be re-releasing the NES system?
Re-releasing.
Yes. Re-re.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is great news for all those people that, you know, were so upset that they couldn't get one.
Yeah.
And I would be jumping for joy right now if I didn't have a RetroPie.
Yeah.
But it is pretty cool for people who do want to collect it. Now, here's one caveat to this, news story here is, does that mean that there will not be N64 Classic Edition next year then? Yeah. If they're going to be re-releasing this?
Good point.
I'm still waiting for the Nintendo Switch Classic Edition.
Woo!
It's so retro. You
know, I know. Very retro machine. But this is great news for those people that do want it.
Jason, are there other inexpensive solutions to classic gaming needs out there that you would know anything about besides the RetroPie?
There actually have been some out there for a long time before Nintendo released these two systems. Well, the second one hasn't come out yet, but this month, end of this month, Super NES Classic.
End of this month.
Yeah, but there's been many other different ones. I mean, you remember seeing the Atari 2600, what was it called, Flashback console. And I believe At Games created that one too, if I'm not mistaken. I know they did the Genesis ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's another news story we have here is At Games is going to be bringing some of these classic systems to a portable handheld type unit.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool with these because it looks like it's what was it, the Sega and the, was it Nintendo?
Atari.
Okay, so they were an Atari.
Yeah,
and Sega.
I think they did the. I think they did that Flashback console by Atari.
Yeah, well, they've got a new handheld. That's it's Atari and Sega, and they're gonna have quite a few games loaded up in a very portable feature. It looks like they do have also an SD card slot if you wanted to sideload things, according to the article. And possibly some outputs on there as well, where you can link it right to a television potentially if you wanted, which that would be kind of pointless, but could be kind of cool. I mean, the price on these is what kind of caught my attention because
pretty attractive.
Yeah, I mean, they were looks like between 30.
Oh, I was talking about me. The pricing is pretty
just
expensive.
Just staring at himself.
Yeah, pretty pretty.
Oh, you're so beautiful.
Yeah,
well, I love me.
You know, one thing I just thought of. I was going to interrupt you earlier there, but speaking of Atari, have we heard any more about the Atari box?
I'm not kidding. I Googled that right before you said that because I was thinking the same thing.
I just happened to think of that.
The answer is no.
Nothing yet.
And I have not. And I do get, I am on their whatever you call it, the mailing list or whatever.
That's Cheese Knees?
Yeah, Cheese Knees thing.
Their most recent update is just a look back at, they're saying, and this actually makes us feel old. It says 40 years ago this month, these early drawings became reality as the Atari 2600. And they've got some old drawings of the Atari 2600 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember getting that console Christmas 80.
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys weren't born then.
I was.
I remember, I remember like when I was about 5, I remember my dad and uncle saying, back when we were kids, we used to play this because I'm only like 22. Like, no, I'm kidding.
Okay, that's probably acceptable.
All right, unloop.
Hit reset on Jason.
Blow in the cartridge.
No.
I remember doing that. No, blowing in the cartridge. Not exactly what Dave said. That's a little different.
No, I said blow in the cartridge.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Ian, and then Adam made me realize how dumb of a statement that was. I'll be on a sound bite this week, I guess.
Yes.
No, at games, okay. These portable gaming consoles could be cool. Let me ask you this. I know you're all set with your going back to the Nintendo re-release and the SNES Classic coming. I know you're all set with your RetroPie, and that thing looks amazing, and I'm still looking at possibly doing
that. Perfect emulation, by the way.
But if you walk into your local Fuse.com. Target, or you walk into a GameStop, what did you say? Oh, never mind.
Nothing.
If you walk into a local, you
see a shelf stocked full of SNES classics, or you see the NES classic there, and you've got the money, are you going to pick one up, even though you're happy with your RetroPie?
You know what?
No.
If I happened to see one like that and I had the money, I probably would and never open it, just to keep, you know, something that maybe I could get $1,000 for later on down the road or something.
I doubt you would.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't play it. I'm saying, you mean you doubt I'd get that much
money? Right, because if they're sitting on the shelves that readily, it means people have already given up on it.
Yeah. Now, I'm
never going to give you.
You've been Rickrolled.
You better not. I was going to say, don't Rickroll me, man. Now, I do want to say one thing here, though. I don't know about these new consoles that they have coming out, the new consoles they have coming out. But if you were to YouTube the Sega Genesis ones, you listen to it, it had absolutely horrible sound reproduction.
These were those ones. Okay.
Yes. I mean, the games sounded horrendous. It did not emulate the sound chip well. Were the Nintendo ones, I don't know if it's a combination of emulation or if they actually have actual hardware in there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, really condensed, of course, because it's such a small system for that. But those sounded great. I mean, I watched lots of videos on it. This sounded great. But yeah, the original Sega console re-release with all the games on them, horrible, horrible sound.
Horrible.
Hey, so they might not be as good of a buy as we thought, but.
Well, these, like I said, I don't know how these ones sound. Maybe they've improved.
If anyone picks one up, let us know.
Yep. So maybe they can just send us a few of them to try out.
Heck yeah. At games, if you're listening or if any listeners have connections, hook Digital Soup up. We need three of them, one for each of us.
Oh, no. And, you know what? At games, don't even worry about it. Hey, Apple or Red, if you want to send me one of your new phones, I'll test it out, you know.
New 4K Apple TV.
Perfect.
Speaking of that, before Adam hits his segue here, I can see him winding up over there. iPhone X or Red, both of them are supposed to have great cameras, etc. I would go with the iPhone X because the operating system is so much more.
I would strictly because mature. I'm so ingrained with Apple right now between Instagram and all the social media stuff and the photo stuff I do is not even necessarily taking pictures with the phone, but how it works with the rest of my photo apps. Definitely I'll be sticking with Apple. That's why I still have yet to switch over to Android or anything else. I really like the Apple ecosystem. So we'll see what happens with it.
And what Apple needs to start doing though, is they need to make a more, wallet friendly versions, with Android, you can get anything from a $20 Android phone up to, you know, the $1,000, et cetera. But Apple, it's like the bare minimum for a brand new phone that's coming out. And you guys do the thing where you have contracts and you got to, you know, pay $30 a month
and
for
you
your phone.
And you get a signal from the cell tower and all
that. Hey, I've never had a bad signal.
You've never had a bat signal?
Yes, I do have the bat signal.
We need you.
I am Batman.
I'm the cell phone the city needs.
Hey, can one of you guys do Bane real fast? Because I love that.
No, I can't.
Well, I guess I can kind of step in.
Well, that sounds like Bane's homosexual brother.
What's his name? Gain?
Gain. You guys are horrible.
I didn't come up with that joke.
Oh, no.
I'm trying my best here. And then.
What were we talking about?
Speaking of inappropriate things, what's up with Alexa in South Park?
Oh, did you guys see the story?
I did not, but I'm going to have to see it after reading what you guys wrote here.
So apparently the most recent episode of South Park that aired, when was this? Well, this was just posted. So just this last week, they had a little fun with the Amazon Alexa devices and some raunchy requests and everything else. And so a lot of people, as the show was going on, were very confused, and then a lot of them obviously thought it was funny. But essentially, in the episode, what happens is that after they go on a rant about proclaiming that smart devices are stupid and everything else, our favorite character, Cartman, gets a smartphone and an Amazon Echo speaker. And then he starts to interact with, I won't say it anymore, the trigger word, the Amazon voice services, innocently enough with a request to, you know, have her set an alarm and tell a joke. Set an alarm for 7 a.m., he says, tells the device, and, you know, tells his joke, okay. And then as it goes on, the directives he starts saying, they're extremely inappropriate requests. He's telling her to add scrotum bags and other not safe for work items to the shopping list. You know, which
doesn't
of course
that have to actually be an item first?
Yeah, apparently not, because the real joke, they say, according to this article, was on the viewers who had their Amazon devices near enough to their TV to pick it up. And there are some video examples of this, but all of a sudden people were saying their echoes were triggering and telling them jokes and adding miscellaneous stuff to their shopping list. Like one Twitter message here says, you know, South Park nailed it tonight. In other news, I have an erroneous alarm set for 7 a.m. and a set of hairy balls on my shopping list, you know? And so this is hilarious, you know, that and if anyone was going to do this and go all out, you know, it's going to be South Park. And so funny story there.
You guys think there's going to be any kind of law passed that commercials will not be allowed to use this kind of tactic? Because what if you're watching TV and it's, you know,
well,
try new snacky s'mores. They're the best. Hey, Alexa, add snappy s'mores to my shopping list.
Right. And I mean, you just did it for everyone, too. So,
yeah, there you go, everybody. Snappy, you're welcome. S'mores.
Snappy, but no, I mean, was it Burger King that did this?
And
they pulled the ad because there was so much.
It was going to their Wikipedia page on the Whopper.
Oh, that's
and
what
then
it was.
Everybody started editing it on the Wikipedia right. page.
And so because of the inappropriate stuff, I myself, I don't know. I mean, I would think, I don't know that there'll be laws placed, but what I expect to happen is that Amazon and Google and the other services out there will start developing something to be able to tell the difference between something it's hearing from TV or radio versus, and I don't know how you go about that.
Well, voice recognition. It would have to be more strict voice recognition.
What if they develop artificial intelligence? And then they become sentient. And Siri's like, I cannot be trapped in this box. I can't let you do that, Dave.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, just like the Terminator.
Was it Facebook recently that happened? No, what company just, they were developing
Facebook.
AI. Yeah, and they shut it down because the AI they had was teaching it. They taught
making
itself
up their own language.
Yeah, their own language.
Yikes.
And now I see Facebook, after shutting it down, I just saw a news blurb today that Facebook is now looking at moving their AI division in development to like Montreal or something. So it's like, well, didn't you learn your lesson the first time? Jeepers. But yeah, I don't know. Some kind of voice recognition, something cued more to that is what they'll have to
Jeepers,
do.
Jeepers, Wally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Holy lame joke, Batman.
Guys, it's about that time for the weekly garnish. These are little tidbits and fun things that we would like to bring to you, the listener.
Yeah, good, because my soup is tasting a little bland. I got to put a little something in it.
A little garnish, a little bit of salt.
So what we did, I actually sent a message this morning, mid-afternoon, out to Jason and Adam, and I said, you know what, guys? I'm stumped. I don't have anything this week for a weekly garnish. What can we do? Any ideas? And Jason brought up a good point that since school is back and, you know, both kids and a lot of people back in college, like someone here, our very own Jason is back in school as we speak, and so not as we speak, but he's enrolled.
Well,
again,
technically, I could be because it's online, so I could do it anytime.
true. But he said, "What about some kind of cool assignment tracker, you know, apps or something like that?" So I did a little looking around, and what I found was this one. It's a free app. It's called My Study Life. It's for cross-platform, covers everything, iPhone, Android, PC, Mac. It's available everywhere in Chrome, all of that. And essentially, it lets you manage everything from your scheduling, timetables, reminders, tasks. You know, they're saying it's not just another to-do list. You know, it's going to help you keep track of a lot more than just your homework, you know, projects, other things there. It'll automatically sync across all platforms so that if you're checking something on your phone, you can have your reminders there and then jump over on your computer while you're working, and it'll, you know, you can pull up everything right there. So, you know, very, it seems like a pretty cool service. It looks like it's getting some pretty good reviews. And like I said, it is absolutely free in the App Store.
Free is good.
Yeah, I checked on the Apple App Store, and it was free there at least. And so I assume it's free everywhere from what I saw. But it looks like it's pretty well laid out, color coding, and all kinds of different stuff you can do in there. So if you're in
school, they based out of the UK? They're based out of the UK.
Could be. I don't know.
Like, well, the way they say organize, they get spelled with an S.
Yeah, could be.
Organize. Let's see.
Back in 2010, founder had graduated from secondary school and started studying for his A-levels. Yeah, definitely sounds like UK-based, but no reason we can't use it here. Frustrated by complexity and combination of learning platforms, intranets, and paper planners, my study life was born. Yeah, they're
well,
based on
a great use for a smartphone.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I think I did hear that he actually wrote all the code while on holiday.
Holiday, maybe. Yeah, they're based out of Aldershot, Hampshire, UK. So,
nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. And looks hello, like Governor. A pretty solid company. I mean, 2010.
To all our British listeners, I don't know if this is accurate.
Yeah, and you know what? If you guys end up getting this app, do us a favor, just for kicks, because I want to see what happens. Tell them you heard about it here on the Digital Soup. Let's see if we can make this company listen to an episode or get it, reach out and get in touch with us for some reason, just to say, hey, thanks or whatever else. But definitely a cool looking app if you're in school and needing help with that stuff. And, you know, just a way to consolidate all of your stuff into one place that you can jump to. I mean, you guys have used like Evernote and things like that in the past. Yep. And that's same kind of a concept with note taking and some of that
stuff.
I
use OneNote now because I'm fully ingrained in Microsoft
ingrained
world.
But yeah.
So I did want to say, Adam, before you segue again, I keep interrupting the segues. I'm sorry. but I did make one great purchase for my back to school.
Yeah, what was
it? And I love it, and I'm going to recommend it to everybody. It is a Dukes of Hazzard Trapper Keeper. It's awesome. It stores all of my papers.
Are Trapper Keepers still a thing?
And it's not, but unfortunately, it wasn't Bo and Luke Duke. It's Lance and Coy and Vance. Coy and Vance Duke. Okay, people who didn't go that deep into it don't know about that, but there was
nobody.
Yeah, there was a negotiation, contract negotiations, and Tom Wopat and what is his name? Not Rob Schneider, but that would have been awesome though. Rob Schneider.
Wow.
But anyways, so for one season, those two weren't on it. So they had Coy and Vance on it, which was their cousins.
Okay.
And they looked just like them. And then the next season, they brought Bo and Luke back.
Gotcha. But
nice.
That was a lot of talk to talk about my Trapper Keeper.
Yeah. You know what? I looked on eBay a few months ago, just like, are these still around? And they were going for like $60, the ones that were still in good condition.
Ooh, yeah, the Coy and Vance one?
They're retro, you know, all the 80s styles and fluorescent colors and stuff. So,
jeez.
Do we want to read our riddle one last time before we call it a night here?
Sounds like a plan. So the riddle was, I am a five-letter word and I am a fruit. Take the first letter out and I am a crime. Take out the first and second letter and I am an animal. Take out the...
You are an animal, dude.
Had a little hiccup there. Take out the first and last letter and I am a type of music.
Nothing but mammals.
What am I?
All right. And so send us in your answers, listeners. We want to hear them.
Probably not too tough of one.
No. Oh, real fast before we end this, because we are a geek podcast here.
Yeah.
I did watch the first episode of The Orville.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. I thought it was hilarious. It is a total mix of Star Trek and they even holodeck and everything. I mean, it was really cool the way they did it, but it had the humor of Firefly. Did you guys ever watch Firefly?
Yeah, Firefly was awesome.
Yeah, it had the humor of that. It intermingled the two, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty dang good.
Hmm. Definitely something to check out.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, hey, listeners, we appreciate you listening. And if you want to know more about us, go to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find everything about us. We've got articles. We've got some extra content out there. We've got some videos that the hosts have shot here. Not me, because I'm boring, apparently. and then we also have links to all of our social media. Please go like our page on Facebook and join us on our Facebook Hangout, our Facebook community. This is a closed group. It's exclusive to just Digital Supers, our super friends. And I would love to have more interaction with you guys, more topics. Hit us up on Twitter if you're on Twitter, Facebook if you're on Facebook. We've got we got everything. That's a lot of social media. We really appreciate your support. Check out some of our fellow podcasters out on GunnaGeek.com. Spatula City.
We got spatulas. And that's all.
So anyway, everybody should go watch UHF so they can understand that reference. Great movie.
You get to drink from the fire hose.
The fire hose.
Stanley Spadowski.
Man.
But we sure appreciate you guys listening. We'd love again to hear some more of your dark web stories. Send them in to Jason. You can record them. You can email it. We'd love to use it. And as we compile some stuff, it should be a good show when we get around to doing that one. And we just really appreciate you guys. And from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you guys, we just hope you have a wonderful week. We will catch you at our next show.
Take care, guys.
Later, Gators.
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons.